ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो फर्स्ट क्रिएशन चैप्टर टू Divinity and Divine Service. So we are starting with chapter 2 from today. Text number 1. Please repeat after me. Vyasa uvacha iti samprashna samrishto vipranam रौमहर्षणी प्रतिपूज्य वचस्तेषां प्रवक्तुम् उपचक्रमे इति संप्रश्न संहृष्टो विप्राणां रौमहर्षिणी प्रतिपूज्य वचस्तेषां प्रवक्तुमुपचक्रमे इति संप्रश्न संहृष्टो विप्राणां रौमहर्षणी प्रतिपूज्य वचस्तेषां प्रवक्तुमुपचक्रमे इति संप्रश्न संहृष्टो विप्राणां रौमहर्षणी प्रतिपूज्य वचस्तेषां प्रवक्तुमुपचक्रमे। एनीवन प्लीज रिपीट। व्यास उवाच इति संप्रश्न संहृष्टो विप्राणां रौमहर्षिणी। व्यास उवाच इति संप्रश्न संहृष्टो विप्राणां रौमहर्षिणी प्रतिपूज्य वचस्तेषां प्रवक्तुमुपचक्रमे इति संप्रश्न संहृष्टो विप्राणां रौमहर्षिणी प्रतिपूज्य वचस्तेषां उपचक्रमे। व्यास उवाच इति संप्रश्न संहृष्टो विप्राणां रौमहर्षिणी प्रतिपूज्य वचस्तेषां प्रवक्तुम उपचक्र में माता जी व्यास उवाच इति संप्रश्न समरिष्टो अम्रो महर्षणि प्रवक्तुम उपचक्र में वर्ड टू वर्ड व्यास उवाच व्यास सेड इति दस संप्रश्न परफेक्ट इंक्वायरीज समृष्ट परफेक्टली सैटिस्फाइड विप्राणाम ऑफ द सेज इज देयर रोमहर्षणि द सन ऑफ रोमहर्षण नेमली उग्रश्रवा प्रतिपूज्य आफ्टर थैंकिंग देम वचः वर्ड्स तेषां देयर प्रवक्तुम टू रिप्लाई टू देम उपचक्र में अटेम्प्टेड ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय Translation, Ugra Shrava, Sudha Goswami, the son of Romaharshana, being fully satisfied by the perfect questions of the Brahmanas, thanked them and thus attempted to reply. Purport, the sages of Naimisharanya asked Sudha Goswami 6 questions, and so he is answering them one by one. So this purport is short, so I am going to the next verse. सूत उवाच यम प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतम् अपेतकृत्याम् द्वैपायनो विरह कातर आजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतया तरवो अभिनेदुस् तम सर्वभूत हृदयाम् मुनिम् आनतोस्मि Srila Sudha Goswami said, Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Shukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher castes, his father, Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, O my son, indeed, only the trees which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation echoed in response to the bereaved father. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The institution of Varna and Ashram prescribes many regulative duties to be observed by its followers. Such duties enjoin that a candidate willing to study the Vedas must approach a bona fide spiritual master and request acceptance as his disciple. The sacred thread is the sign of those who are competent to study the Vedas from the Acharya or the bona fide spiritual master. Sri Shukadeva Goswami did not undergo such purificatory ceremonies because he was a liberated soul from his very birth. Generally, a man is born as an ordinary being, and by the purificatory processes, he is born for the second time. When he sees a new light and seeks direction for spiritual progress, he approaches a spiritual master for instruction in the Vedas. The spiritual master accepts only the sincere inquirer as his disciple and gives him the sacred thread. In this way, a man becomes twice born or a dvija. After qualifying as a dvija, one may study the Vedas, and after becoming well versed in the Vedas, one becomes a vipra. A vipra or a qualified brahmana thus realizes the absolute and makes further progress in spiritual life until he reaches the Vaishnava stage. The Vaishnava stage is the postgraduate status of a Brahmana. A progressive Brahmana must necessarily become a Vaishnava, for a Vaishnava is a self-realized, learned Brahman. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a Vaishnava from the beginning. Therefore, there was no need for him to undergo all the processes for the Varnashram institution. Ultimately, the aim of Varnashram Dharma is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord or a Vaishnava. Anyone, therefore, who becomes a Vaishnava, accepted by the first class Vaishnava or Uttamadhikari Vaishnava, is already considered a Brahmana, regardless of his birth due to his past deeds. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this principle and recognized Srila Haridas Thakur as the Acharya of the Holy Name. Although Thakur Haridas appeared in a Mohammedan family, in conclusion, Srila Shukadeva Goswami was born a Vaishnava, and therefore Brahmanism was included in him. He did not have to undergo any ceremonies. Any low-born person, be he a Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumbha, Yavana, Khasa, or even lower, can be delivered to the highest transcendental position by the mercy of Vaishnavas. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was the instructing spiritual master of Sri Sudha Goswami, who therefore offers his respectful obeisances onto Srila Shukadeva Goswami before he begins his answers to the questions of the sages at Naimisharanya. Om Adhyanati Mirandasya Nananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namah Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this purport in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that generally a person is born as an ordinary being, and the purpose of Varna and Ashrama is to elevate his consciousness so that he, you know, at the end of his life or at some stage, you know, he becomes a Vaishnava from his previous position. So there are four Varnas and there are four Ashramas. As you know, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, that Chaturvarna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha Tasya Kartaram Api Maam Vidhi Akartaram Avyayam. So Krishna is saying that I have created these four Varnas, Chaturvarna, four Varnas created by me, and they have been created by two types of, two distinctions. There are two criterias: Guna and Karma. Guna means somebody's qualities, and karma is someone's activity. So based on one's inclinations in terms of his qualities and his activities, a person is categorized into four varnas. So there is Brahman, which is... So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that there are four types, which is like Brahmana, the people who are in the mode of goodness, naturally who are situated in the, you know, in mode of goodness, they are called Brahmanas. They are the intelligent class of men. So what are their characteristics? They are situated in knowledge, you know, and naturally by knowledge they are happy. So sukham is one characteristic of goodness. And the other one is they are happy. Sukham is happy and knowledge is jnanam. So two characteristics. So second classic kshatriya. Kshatriya people are the ones who have that tendency by which they want to fight for justice. And they want, you know, they have that instinct in them that they want to protect the lives and they want to, they like to be the leaders and they want to administer. So they are the administrative class and they are situated in passion and ignorance. So they are combined. So the perfect kshatriyas, they are, you know, they are mostly in passion and they also have sattvaguna. They are also in goodness. But mostly they are passion and ignorance. And Vaishyas, the third category is mercantile men, and the fourth one is Shudras. They are ignorant. They are in ignorance and they are the labor class. So, you know, how to understand or how to really understand about oneself that where do I belong to, right? So, based on your inclinations, based on the type of mode of material nature you are situated, these distinctions are made. And there are also four ashramas. Brahmachari, in the beginning of one's life, one is supposed to follow Brahmachari ashram. One is supposed to take guidance from a bona fide spiritual master, learn the science of self-realization, learn the Vedas, and regulate one's life very strictly. That is Brahmachari ashram. And then after that, one may be given a choice to continue with the Brahmachari ashram for the rest of his life, or that person can choose to marry and enter into Grihastha ashram, which is householder life. So in the householder life, the person can can see he has to, you know, take care of wife, naturally take care of the children. And while raising the children, he comes to know, you know, he remembers his own previous life when he used to be a brahmachari and how he was, you know, following all the different scriptural injunctions. Also, while working to raise the family, the person comes to know about the truths of how this material world is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the ultimate purification. The ultimate aim of all the ashram, all the four ashramas, is to purify the person. That is the ultimate aim. So even if somebody is a grihastha, if someone has chosen the householder life, so that person sees, while working with different types of, you know, other type of personalities in the outside world, he understands the futility of the material enjoyment. And he understands how this material world is designed. And that is one way this householder life can benefit. Like Srila Prabhupada says that if there are some material desires within the heart, then a person can purify those desires through the path of regulation. If someone has some desires, you know, so there are two choices. One can deny those desires. So there is a path of denial. But the path of denial ultimately leads to frustration, because by nature, we are the living entities who are always seeking for pleasure. So the desires will always be there. But if we start to deny them, then we can deny them for some time. Like, you know, sometimes in Brahmachari ashram, like when I was a Brahmachari in India that time, they decided a strict rule that you should not eat sweet. So complete denial of sweets. And it went on for maybe like 2 or 3 months, but it was not possible for everyone. Then people started to complain, and naturally the aim that we should become more enthusiastic was not fulfilled. People started to feel, you know, a bit lazy. They started to feel, you know, they started to eat in a hiding manner. They started to, you know, sneak out and started to eat. And then ultimately the authorities allowed that, okay, you can have sweets. They started to make sweets. But that time I saw that people who actually followed that rule very strictly for 2 or 2.5 months, they ate all the sweets that they missed for last 2.5 months with compound interest. So that's the path of denial which doesn't work. You know, there is Prabhupada always talks about bhoga and tyaga. Bhoga means indulgence, eating too much sweet. That is also wrong. And tyaga means complete denial. But Krishna consciousness, the path that is given to us by Srila Prabhupada, is neither denial and nor indulgence. It is of regulation. The path of regulation that can purify our hearts without denying our desires. So instead of, you know, stopping to eat sweets completely, or instead of eating a lot of sweets, our path is to regulate the intake of sweets. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha. So everything has to be regulated. So that is the right path by which one person can purify his heart. So even grasa life is regulated. It should be regulated. So there is a story of Kardam Muni in Bhagavatam. Kardam Muni went through a lot of austerities as a brahmachari. He was son of Lord Brahma. And he went through so much of austerities. His father wanted him to get married and produce children and help Lord Brahma for the creation. You know, that was the beginning of creation. So Lord Brahma, the father, wanted the son, Kardam Muni, to act as Prajapati and beget children. So when in Brahmachari Ashram, Kardam Muni performed great severe austerities, Lord Vishnu became pleased. And Lord Vishnu was so much pleased by the austerities that he cried tears of love, thinking that my devotee is so great. And Kardam Muni told Lord Vishnu that my father wants me to get married and I want to respect my father. At the same time, I want to continue this path of, you know, devotional service. I don't want to stop this devotional service. Neither I want to get affected by, you know, by me being married should not be a hindrance to my devotional service. So Lord Vishnu was so happy with Kardam Muni. It is described that Lord Vishnu, he arranged for the marriage. He said that 3 days from now, the king of the world will come to you with his daughter. So Narad Muni became the mediator and he arranged for the marriage. And Devahuti was married to Kardam Muni. So, the time of marriage, Kardam Muni had a condition. He said that I will get married because my father wants me to. But once I have a son, once we beget son, then I will leave. Then I will enter renounced order of life. So there we see that even sense gratification with the desire to be renounced through the path of regulation is very much appreciated. So one is allowed for, you know, having some desire, but if the ultimate goal is to purify our desires, neither denial and nor indulgence, but we want to purify those desires. the desires that we have right now, the same desires can be completely purified and converted into Krishna conscious desires. Because if we see the lives of great devotees, we see they also are acting the same way, you know. And if someone is not studying the Vedas or studying these scriptures under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, that person won't understand the difference between the activities of a common person and the activities of a great Vaishnava. Because the activities appear to be similar. Because if you see the lives of great devotees like Ambarish Maharaj, he is also a king and he is also having many wives. He is also performing his duties. And it appears that how he is different than a just mundane king. But because of his devotional service, everything changes. So, today's purport, we see that Prabhupada is mentioning that there is a purificatory process that is needed for every person in order to start studying the Vedas. And the person should approach the spiritual master. And once the spiritual master accepts the disciple, then he will also give the sacred thread. And then the Brahmacharya ashram begins. So, I remember when I was given the sacred thread, I was very small, I was 8 years old, so I did not understand much, but my mother was crying, and I did not understand what is there to cry. You know, I was thinking like, she's too sentimental. But the reason was, you know, I found out later when actually the ceremony began, and the person who was conducting that ceremony, he said that from today, you should not eat too much sweet. You should not sleep in the daytime. You should not sleep with your mother. So you cannot, you know, you should not touch a woman. You should stay, you know, you have to regulate your life. And you have to study Vedas. You have to do Gayatri. You have to chant Gayatri 3 times a day. So these type of injunctions turn a boy, like, you know, a small, maybe 5-6 years old boy. I was 8 years that time. So that's why the parents usually think that, oh, now my small, you know, boy has turned into a man. So that's the actual beginning of Brahmacharya ashram. So that's why Brahmacharya ashram means one should be very strict and one should, you know, without any diligence, without any, one should be completely, you know, adhering to the instructions of the spiritual master and study the Vedas and study the Shastras. And then, in the beginning, you know, that is the base of life. If the base is strong, then the building of life will be very strong. That's why one is advised to be very strict in Brahmacharya ashram. And then, as we said, that in the Grihastha ashram, there is different types of injunctions that must be followed. And we can see the life of Srila Prabhupada, you know, who acted as a perfect Grihastha. So when he was householder, he acted as the best interface between the sannyasis, you know, of Gaudiya Math and the people in general. So that's the job of Grihasthas. Like, they are supposed to connect the renounced order of life devotees to the devotees in general. So we see a Grihastha is supposed to take charge and always protect his family, his wife and his children. So we see in the life of Prabhupada, when there were bombs being thrown in Kolkata, and Prabhupada was living in Kolkata with his wife and children, so everyone was moving away, moving out of Kolkata that time, because nobody knows, like, you know, at any time there can be a bomb, you know, thrown on your house and you will be burnt to ashes. So That time Prabhupada sent his children to Mayapur. But his wife was adamant. She said, no, I will not leave the house. Whatever happens, I will stay here. If I have to die, I will stay here and I will die in my house. Prabhupada tried to convince, but she did not agree. But then Prabhupada thought that if I leave my wife and I go myself alone to Mayapur, then everyone will say that, you know, what kind of husband you are. You know, you just left your wife to die there. And Prabhupada was such perfect grihastha that he said that he also stayed with his wife. And he was happily making kachoris in the kitchen while the bombs were being thrown in Kolkata. And there was, you know, sounds of bomb blasts. And Prabhupada was singing Hare Krishna and frying kachoris. And then later on Prabhupada told the disciples that, I was thinking that if the bomb is dropped on my head, I am chanting Hare Krishna, so we will go to Krishna. And if the bomb is not dropped, then anyways we are frying the kachoris, so we will offer the kachori and eat. That is also good. So the life of devotee is always happy, you know, in this way or that way. So after grihastha ashram, one is supposed to renounce and detach oneself and enter vanaprastha ashram. Vanaprastha ashram is preparation for sannyas. So vanaprastha ashram, like it is said in the shastras, panchasha urdvam vanam vrajet, that after you are 50 years or older, then you should start preparing your life for sannyas ashram. So, you know, after 50 years, one should travel to holy places, and one should not indulge in any sense gratification, and one should develop detachment. So we see in the life of Prabhupada also, he took vanaprastha and soon he took sannyas. So in today's verse, we are seeing that Suta Goswami, who is disciple of Shukadev, he is, you know, before he is beginning his answers, he is offering his obeisances to his spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami. So who is this Shukadev Goswami? When Krishna was present in this world, Krishna and Radha, they had their intimate pastimes. They used to have Rasa Leela, and they used to meet in the night time. So these pastimes are arranged by Vrinda Devi, and Vrinda Devi has 100,000 parrots. So these parrots fly over Vrindavan and they carry messages. They are like secret agents, you know, between the Radha and Krishna. And they tell Krishna that, hey Krishna, Mother Yashoda just got up. You have to rush to house, otherwise she will be very mad at you if she doesn't find you there. So Krishna runs from the forest and he, you know, he goes to his room and he behaves as if he has been sleeping all night. And these are the parrots who are always flying, and they are, you know, spying and finding out who is talking what, and you know, who is up to what thing, and you know, they are having all information. They are like media. So Radharani has her own personal parrot. And this is the Shukadev Goswami. So in the previous life, this parrot of Radharani, so when Radharani was about to leave this world and go back to the spiritual world, this personal parrot, Shuka, he said that, please take me with you. And Brahma Vaivarat Puran explains the story that Radharani said, no, you have to stay here because it's not your time yet to leave this place, this world. After this life, you will surely come to me, but your time has not come. So you stay here and you associate with Vaishnavas, and then your life will be perfect. You won't feel any separation. So this Shuka thought, now what should I do after Radharani, you know, when she left? The same happened with Uddhava also. Uddhava said to Krishna that, now I know you are going to end your pastimes in this world, and I don't want to stay here without you. But Krishna said that you are born with your own, you know, aim of life. You have your own jivan kartavya. So you should just stay and fulfill your mission of life. So Krishna asked Uddhava to go to Badrika Ashram. The same way Radharani asked Shuka to stay here. And then Shuka was thinking, now what should I do? Whom should I associate? Then he thought, Vaishnavanam yatha shambho. So Lord Shiva is the best among all the Vaishnavas in all the three worlds. So he went to Kailash. He was, you know, hiding in the trees, and he was listening to Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Puran, that Lord Shiva used to recite and tell to his wife Parvati. So one day Parvati fell asleep, and Shuka thought that if Parvati is not responding to the reading of Lord Shiva, then Lord Shiva may stop reading Bhagavat Puran. And then he did not want this reading to stop. So he started to respond on behalf of Parvati. And then when Parvati got up, she said, I did not hear this today. But then Shiva understood that there is a parrot who is listening to this. So Lord Shiva wanted to find out what is the reason or what is the intention of this parrot. So in anger, Lord Shiva chased the parrot. And then this parrot flew to the ashram of Vyasadeva, and he entered. That time Vyasadeva was also reciting from Shastras, and his wife was there. So this parrot entered the mouth of Vyasadeva's wife. And then Lord Shiva told the incident to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva said that this Bhagavat Puran is so powerful, and it can transform the person, it purifies the person instantly. So even if the parrot, you are doubting that he may have bad intentions, just by hearing this Bhagavatam, he is already purified. So as we know the story, that then the parrot entered the womb of the wife of Vyasadeva, and he started to grow as a child. And Vyasadeva was awaiting for the child to be born, but this Shuka in the womb, the Shukadeva Goswami, he did not want to come out of the womb because he thought it's too much of maya, it's too much of illusion, this world. So Vyasadeva was praying and he was requesting the child to come out of the womb. But the child said, I cannot come. Vyasadeva said, I guarantee you that you will not be affected by the illusory energy of the Lord. But to the response, Shukadeva said, I see that you are attached to your wife and children. How can you guarantee? So for 16 years, the child was there. Shukadeva Goswami, for 16 years, he stayed in the womb of the wife of Vyasadeva, so his mother. So after 16 years, when he was born, we see it is described that he had nothing to do with this world. He was a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava. He was pure since birth. He was Vaishnava since birth. And that is today's verse, that when Shukadeva Goswami left house, Vyasadeva cried out in separation, Oh my son! And indeed only the trees, which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation, echoed in response to the bereaved father. Shukadeva Goswami ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Anybody has any questions? You can. Any mic for Bhrugupati Prabhu? Thank you.
Thank you, Boo. Nice class, as usual. You were mentioning in the early part of the class how, in regard to sense gratification, one should not be a bogey, a sense enjoyer, or a tyagi, somebody who just gives it up altogether, but be regulated. And but here in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 34 in the purport, Prabhupada says, practice of sense gratification under regulations may also lead one to go astray, as much as there is always the chance of an accident, even on the royal roads. Although they may be very carefully maintained, no one can guarantee that there will be no danger even on the safest road. The sense enjoyment spirit has been current a very, very long time owing to material association. Therefore, in spite of regulated sense enjoyment, there is every chance of falling down. Therefore, any attachment for regulated sense enjoyment must also be avoided by all means. So, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, so that is the reason Shukadeva Goswami was not coming out of the womb of his mother, because there is always a chance, because the illusory energy of the Lord is so powerful. Krishna himself says that mama maya duratyaya, daivi yesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. So Krishna is already confirming that this illusory energy, the external energy of the Lord, maya, is very, very powerful. So yes, the regulative, the path of regulation also has dangers. But Krishna gives the answer in the second line of the same verse, mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. So the person who has taken shelter of my lotus feet, anybody who is completely surrendered, he can cross over this illusory energy maya. So of course there is danger at every step, and that's why, you know, the best thing is the path of renunciation. You know, the path of not indulging in any type of sense gratification. So that's why even in householder life, it is said that one should be very strict householder. Householder, you know, even if you are householder, you should completely depend on Krishna. Sometimes people think that I am grihastha, or like I am householder, that means enjoyment is allowed to me. But that's not actually the thing. Enjoyment is actually not existent in this world. So that's something we have to, somehow we have to come to that platform where we realize there is no enjoyment in this world without Krishna. And if we are devotees, then it doesn't matter if, you know, who we are. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishyo na shudro. Naham varni nacha gruhapatir na vanasto yatirva. Kintu prodyan nikhila paramanand purnam rutabdher gopi bharutar padak malyor das das dasa anudas. And we see many followers, like most of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were householders. So it doesn't matter whether we are householder, brahmachari, vanaprastha or sannyasi or brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. What really matters is complete surrender, you know, complete dedication and surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna and the spiritual master. So yes, the path of regulation also has dangers if we are not completely surrendered and if we are not completely depending on Krishna and completely following the instructions of the spiritual master. But once if we are following the instructions of spiritual master, if we have taken the shelter and if we are surrendered, then Krishna has given his promise that my devotee will never perish. That's Krishna's promise, that in any case, even in Bhagavatam it is said that this path of devotional service is so perfect that a person, even if he is blindfolded and if he is running, he will never slip or fall down. Yan asthaya naro rajan na pramadet karhichit dhavan nimilyavan netre na patet na skhaletiha. So this path of devotional, you know, life is so perfect. So we have to stick to the path. That's important. if we are not sticking, like Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is simple, but it's not easy. Krishna consciousness is very simple, but it's not easy. So danger is always there.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Anybody has any other question? Okay, after that Maharaj, you can.
It seemed like Sukadeva Goswami, he left his parents very upset, but the devotee tries to make everyone happy. Is that...
He
doesn't want to cause any violence to anyone else. So what is the dynamic between saving yourself but also being able to give and help others?
Happiness for the parents. So the question is that Sukadeva Goswami went away, but he left his father in sadness, right? In sorrow for the parents. So answer could be, for today, the parents may be sad today. They may not understand what we are following. You know, many times it happens, a person becomes Krishna conscious and everybody gets upset. That is temporary sadness, you know. But we should see the permanent and eternal benefit for the parents also. If you become a devotee of Krishna, then all your relatives, especially your mother and father, they will get the same benediction. Your devotional service can uplift your parents, you understand? And they may not understand our path, they may not understand, you know, the process today. They may be sad, but they will understand in due course of time. And being a devotee doesn't mean to break hearts, you know, like you said. So once one becomes Krishna conscious, then one should give more love to one's mother and father. You know, one should give more respect. And that is seen that many times when someone becomes a devotee, then mother and father, they actually get astonished, thinking that my child, he did not respect me so much previously, but now he is respecting me more. So, you know, the path of devotee, you know, we are representing our spiritual master. Like Prabhupada's life, we see Prabhupada, he himself took such a great care of his own disciples' father and mother. Like Giriraj Maharaj, you know, when his parents visited, Prabhupada took such a great care of his parents. So the main idea is that we should not leave anyone distressed or sad. At the same time, we should not compromise on our devotional life. So that balance is a tug of war. It's not easy. That's why one should take guidance from senior devotees, and you know, we are. So this way one can surely get that balance. Hare Krishna. Yes, Maharaj. Yeah, we, for you, always there is a time.
Thank you. I just wanted to jump back a question to your answer and elaborate only on one point of your answer, which is actually very good. But what I want to say is that, as you mentioned that in that very nice verse, that this divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome, but those who surrender unto me can easily cross beyond it. So we have to take apart what kind of surrender, what is the quality of the surrender, what is the degree of surrender.
Yeah.
Because if that surrender is mild, if the surrender is one of not giving it really importance, but doing it as mere duty, as something that I'm supposed to do, but I really don't want to do, the result will not be very profitable or very beneficial. The point is that as a person performs these devotional activities that we have, and that includes worship and prayer, when a devotee prays very intensely, very strongly, in a mood of helplessness, he realizes that this sexual impulse is very difficult to control. And he himself, even though he's controlling, he's restricting, He's being chased. He's still feeling those urges. They're still there. So he begs, he cries to the Supreme Lord. It is so difficult. I'm so weak. I'm so full of envy. I'm so full of attraction for the opposite sex. I need your help. Please help me. Please enable me by your force, since you have the force which if you give to me, I can then feel a joy within. Even a matter of the verse that was on my mind is that even if one gives up or restrains himself, if he attains or achieves a higher taste, this higher taste means transcendental bliss. That's what it is. So when we are beginning to feel transcendental bliss, that takes away the necessity or the need for material pleasure. Mm-hmm. When you have something better, you can give it up. Just for example, if you are eating stale bread all of your life, it's very hard, and you have to chew it 30 times to get a little sugar, sweetness. But if somebody comes along with a piece of fresh baked bread right out of the oven, and you taste it, the first thing you say, I don't want that stale bread anymore. Similarly, a person who gets a taste of transcendental pleasure, which it comes from the heart, not from the genitals, and when and it spreads through the entire body and manifests in various symptoms, sometimes a few and sometimes many. So when a devotee begins to experience those transcendental symptoms, the desire is automatically, as you said, one outgrows it, so to speak. And not only that, but he also has great sympathy for those who are still going through those pangs and haven't come to that stage as yet. So we have to be very patient. And anyone who's playing, who's acting as spiritual master has to explain just this point, that you have to wait. A good thing, such as transcendental pleasure, may take a long time to achieve. It's in Krishna's hands. But you have to go on praying in a helpless, dependent, I can't do it by myself. And when Krishna sees the sincerity is so intense, so strong, so deep, so compelling, he then begins to let loose some of that transcendental bliss. And then the devotee realizes there's another kind of pleasure and is able and willing and ready to give up the lower pleasure.
Jaya. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Natai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bo.